The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
M-E-D.
Not replaced by AI, at least not yet. It's still here, right in Southern Oregon, 770-5633. David's here. Hey, David, you wanted to weigh in on the changing local media scene here. What are you thinking? Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you're not going away, Bill. So, look, I'll start by saying I'm not in media anymore. Back in the day, I was. And
what did you do, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. Well, I was part of the I was in radio for a long time, but
no kidding.
I was part of the very first sales staff at KDRV back in the day.
Really?
I think you actually worked with Keith Lawless there for a little while, didn't you?
Yeah, Keith was my general manager back 2001, 2002, 2003, in that neighborhood.
Before that, they brought Keith in from a larger market to put Newswatch together, and they did. And back then, it was, you know, that's why KDRV shot to the top. I mean, their news product was just simply better. But look, I'll say this. First of all, regarding the weather, I mean, I have AccuWeather on my phone, the app, and that's where I look most of the time for my weather. Now, if there was some more important local alerts or stuff like that, I guess, you know, the local thing would be more important. But my larger point is this. I think if you look at legacy media across the country now, it's losing, okay, across the board. It's, you know, people just don't like it. They don't trust it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the local news, you know, they pull the same stories from the wires. And I don't really watch local news anymore just for that reason. It's just kind of a smaller, kind of locally regurgitated, you know, version of the news. And I think of the national news. And I think that, you know, look, the Mail Tribune is gone. The Register Guard in Eugene is almost gone.
The Oregonian's been on life support for quite some time,
right,
over in Portland. Yeah, no longer publishes.
It's a brave new world. There are new forms of media. But I think there's some spillover there from what we're seeing naturally, which is we don't want it.
Interesting. We don't want it. We don't care. You know, there is something, David, that has concerned me. You know how I have talked about one of my concerns is that there has been less focus on community and more focus on national concerns all the time. Have you ever heard me talk about those kind of things? Now, granted, here in Southern Oregon, our governments are not nearly as dramatic in having as, you know, these massive decisions and these big political battles as, let's say, in Washington, D.C. But I think in some cases, the national media focus on everything D.C. has gotten people to the point where they'll get irritated when they see their, you know, these big national agendas to go green and put bicycle bum ways up through our downtown city streets and things like that. But they're always watching the national stories or paying attention to the national stories or sharing the national stories on their even on their social media. And the bad stuff, you know, happens locally. And there's nobody left in the local media to be able to pay attention and even bring attention to those. And that's why I was never happy when the Mail Tribune went down, even though I disagreed with their editorial point of view, you know, and I made that very clear.
All day long.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
But somebody has to go and take a look at it, and, you know, and it takes time, it takes people, it takes money. But if nobody cares about it, then I guess we're just going to become the United State rather than the state of Oregon or the city of Medford. And that's my concern over time.
Well, look, I'll just say this. When I want to know about what's going on locally, politically and stuff, most of the time I listen to you.
Mm.
Okay. And you know, there are other places, but that's why people like you are so valuable, because you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on around here. And I trust
very kind.
You, and you know, you come from the right. But yeah, I just think things are changing. And, you know, do I think part of it is kind of like disengagement and ignorance? Yeah, part of it is, and that's a little scary.
Yes.
But I just, like I said, the status quo in media now, and again, you know, people will laugh at this, but, you know, the effects of Donald Trump and you know, it's really a revolution what's going on with him. It's not just about one guy.
Yeah.
The effects are reverberating everywhere, and I think media is one of the biggest places, because, you know, look, the light is shining on them now, and the cockroaches are scattering, you know.
Indeed, they are. I read that about CNN. You know something else which I think may have hurt television news here, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but this there was a real shift a number of years ago to get away from hard news reporting, and I think it was about the feminization of the news world. Would you agree with me on that, in which stories, instead of actually covering things that were actually happening in there, a lot of things became mommy and me stories, and it's like, oh, here's the latest mommy and me story of the nice, soft, nonprofit group that opened up in Southern Oregon, and they'll be providing services, and you know what I mean? You know, that's have you noticed that trend in a lot of the news?
Well, you know, yeah, for a long time, and I guess, you know, my whole thing is like, well, I guess if it's newsworthy, then okay, but look, I've been disappointed with news for, I'll give you an example. I hear you got the guy from Eugene now. I travel up there on business.
Yeah.
The guy from Eugene now is doing your, you know,
yeah, he's helping us out here. Yeah. Bill in the newsroom.
And I just heard it. It's like the city of Ashland is considering, you know, doing away with natural gas because a bunch of kids at the high school, believe that the sky is falling.
But they have been inculcated with it all these years.
Is that really news? Is that really going to go anywhere?
Oh, but they did it, though. The city council did the initial reading. Now, they have not passed it yet. There is time for them to pull back, but something tells me that that children, and when children are in charge of your local city council, you got problems, man. You got problems. I appreciate the call, David. Thanks for making it. Good call. 770-5633. KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. KBXG Grants Pass. K290 AF Rogue River. K294 AS Ashland. All right, I think we got it all covered. Town Hall News coming up next, and then more of your calls. We'll also have a Diner 62 quiz before the end of this hour, too. Okay?
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is celebrating its 20-year anniversary as the Rogue Valley's car, truck, Jeep, and SUV accessory upfit headquarters.
It's open phones, 10 minutes after 8. Crazy Gene, or not so Crazy Gene, I haven't talked to you for a few days. What's going on in your world? What are you thinking?
Well, I was just wondering, whatever happened to the New World Order? I used to hear about it all the time. Where'd it go?
I think Trump is the New World Order. I think that's what happened.
Well, then that's a good thing. But
I hope
so. Why can't we have the kids learn from computer at night with some headphones, and they can listen to the schooling at night and never have to go to school?
I can't answer that. Talk to the unionized folks over at Oregon Department of Education. Can you do that?
Oh, that's who knows? Okay. Well, I just didn't realize that was the important people.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if ODE is unionized, but they certainly talk to a lot of unionized people. All right.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Good weekend to you. Thank you, Gene. It's all comers this hour. 770-5633-770-KMED. Speaking of schools, we're going to have to talk a little bit about the Michael Williams story, KOBI, and a few other local places covering this morning. We'll have to touch in on that for sure. Gold, $27.76. You know, I haven't been checking the price of gold for the last few days because I just check it and put it away. You know, I just keep looking and. Because I'm not a trader. I don't do the trading of gold or physical silver because I like to buy the dips when I see the pullback. Every now and then I love to see a particular pullback. Price of gold has soared this morning, just 1% just this morning alone. And we're at $27.76. Almost two. We're getting close to $2,800 again. And gosh, I guess we hit an all-time high just a moment ago. A lot of people didn't talk about this. It was like 2803 just the other day. This is over on Burt's Gold page on Lou Rockwell. The reason why this may be significant is that I think what Mr. Gold is saying, that in spite of the strengthening dollar, they're still seeing inflation and everything. Yep, you got President Trump in there, and you look at the huge amount of debt, the huge amount of financing which has to be done, and the play is still looking out for inflation. And I know President Trump was saying he wants the price of money to immediately go down. Well, you know, that'll immediately cause the price of gold to go up because it's all inflationary, you know, the way I'm looking at this thing. So take some of your wealth and tuck it away in some gold if you can. Talk to your financial advisor if you want. I'm not giving you the advice. I just think it's continuing to be a good place to get the gold and silver, and that would be Jay Austin and Company Gold and Silver Buyers. And maybe you're looking at it and you want to sell right now too. But they will help you navigate these things. And yeah, 2776, that's where we're going. Well, never too late to add and maybe stack a little bit more, because long term it does appear that the inflation is not going to be boiled out of the economy anytime soon. Aye, aye, aye. I think about going to the grocery store. Hopefully we won't have a dollar a piece eggs. I hope not. But we'll see. I'll have to talk to Glenn Archambault about that. When it comes to gold and silver, though, talk to Jay Austin, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, fortunereserve.com.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company takes pride ensuring their customers get fresh, clean water from field to faucet. Here's a review.
Like Simply Safe. Go right now while you're thinking about it. SimplySaveKim.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
And streamed on KMED.com. Heard at 106.3 in Jackson County, 106.7 in South Jackson County, 105.9 Grants Pass, Rogue River area there. And, of course, also 99.3 KBXG during the morning show, 6 to 9, where they go back to their amazing oldies, okay? Let me go to open phones at 770-5633. Lynn is here. Hello, Lynn. Good to have you on. We wanted to talk media a little bit. Is that what you're talking about, the local news, things like that?
Yeah, this is really interesting to me. You know, Rush Limbaugh used to say the media business is the only one where the customer's always wrong. And I would love to watch local media or even national media, but they don't do any reporting. They just repeat narratives and press releases, and they don't give context. And I just was thinking of that example of the homeless guy in Grants Pass.
Yeah, and I was watching that, and this is not to bag on Newswatch. I also kind of excuse the reporter who was involved with this, because I know that if I was a 22-year-old young kid, you know, just out of college, let's say, and I'm going over and I'm seeing all these poor people, these poor homeless people, I would be probably, you know, not having had a lot of life experience, being sympathetic to this. But yeah, it was interesting that what the homeless interview that was conducted there was pretty much just looking at him, you knew the guy was a drinker, heavy drinker, right? And you could...
Well, and if you were doing journalism, you'd also go talk to the head of the Gospel Mission, get their perspective.
And find out how many of these homeless people have come over there to try to get rooms, yeah, right? Or to get a place
just
to stay.
For context. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to take a position, but you need to look at... differing views of the situation, and journalists just don't do that anymore. And not that they were that great at it. I mean, years ago, I was a director of the local pregnancy center, and there was something that came down. I don't remember now what it was, having to do with the crisis pregnancy centers. And so this local reporter, of course, she's young, but I noticed she kept asking me the same question over and over again in a different way. She was trying to get me to admit to something. And
she wanted to get you into a gotcha, in other words, right?
Yeah, she wanted to do a gotcha. And I just thought, you jerk, I'm not going to talk to you guys ever again. And that was 20 years ago. So this has been going on a long time. But, you know, social media has part of it. But people go to social media and they go to streaming and podcasts because they don't like what we're being fed. And I think, you know, there would be hope, I would think. But nobody with money apparently is willing to do honest journalism. I don't know.
And the big challenge, I think, with depending on social media for your news, too, is that social media is little more than a big CB radio. Nothing wrong with that, okay? You know, like right. When I was growing up. But, you know, by the time you get to the end of playing this game of telephone where, you know, where the message gets entirely distorted and changed, by the time you get to the other end of it, we just have to understand that. At the same time, do I necessarily want to go back to the point where, gosh, if it's not in the New York Times, then it must not be, it couldn't be important then, which was the way it used to be set up. You know how that was, right?
Yeah. And we were fooled for a long time thinking it was actual journalism. And you know, now we know there's CIA plants in all the major news organizations to make sure the right stuff gets out. It's really discouraging. But is there any hope? Like, could there be a revival of actual journalism, even local news coverage? I know that guy that bought out one of the stations and he failed, tried to do something like that, but it just seems like if there was an organization that actually did real news again, they might have a chance to come back.
I don't know if there's a hope for that or not, Lynn, because media consumption patterns, everybody, I don't mean everybody, but especially younger generations, if it, you know, the new god is the cell phone, I don't say that sarcastically. You know, that if it doesn't come out of your phone, for many people, I mean, you see how people treat cell phones in the culture. The culture has gone very cell phone centric.
Yeah.
You know, as it goes, and yet, don't you find it interesting that you know, the local schools are saying, "Gosh, we got to get kids off these phones, otherwise they're never going to learn anything."
Well, thank God for that. That's absurd. But anyway, I think these groups, they committed suicide, and it's to the harm of all of us, really.
And maybe that will change. Maybe that will change. I don't know. I know that the fellow who was running the Mail Tribune, Stephen Soslow, was trying to change that around. And
oh, that's who I was thinking of, Soslow. It wasn't TV. It was
Soslow.
Tribune, yeah.
And he was doing his best. I know he got a lot of pushback from the staff there. He was not able to complete it, unfortunately, because I just think that print media is just has a devil of a time, and people expect something on the internet to be free, which doesn't pay for reporters and websites either. Just saying.
Yeah, and I mean, he was still reporting the COVID narratives that were total lies, and I was just like, I got into it with him a couple times, but it didn't help. So I lost interest pretty quickly because, and at least what they're doing now is they focus on the local news.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they can survive. But I never go to the editorial page because it just makes me mad.
I hope they can survive too. And like I said, I have not been a fan of crushing the newspapers, the local newspapers around here. Someone's got to do some reporting. We appreciate that. Thank you very much here, Lynn. 770-5633. David is in Phoenix. David, you wanted to talk about the school board meeting yesterday. First, Medford 549C school board meeting yesterday. And according to what I was seeing, I wasn't able to go, but I saw that they were going after Michael Williams again and said, yes, he's essentially guilty of being a very, 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 very bad person, apparently. What did you think about that going?
Well, there's going to be some – Rob will probably call in today or tomorrow and some other people who are a lot smarter than me. So here's what I would like to share about that meeting. That meeting was a heartbreak.
It was?
Across the board. A heartbreak across the board. It was sad. I'm pretty hard-boiled, and tears don't come to my eyes, you would think, in a school board meeting, but a couple of times it did.
What was it that about that school board meeting, the first Medford 549C school board meeting, David, that actually brought tears to your eyes? What was it?
Well, both. It's too simplistic to say two sides. This coin has this. This is a Rubik's cube, not a coin.
Mm.
There were people who everybody wants freedom of speech, but there was lots of people that tried to shout each other down if they didn't like what they heard. People
really
want to hear what they want to hear. And when we talk about going to these meetings, I understand why the first half of the meeting was what Rob probably, if he calls in, will talk about. And he'll do it a lot better than me. But we took a break, and when the break was over, there was very few people left. They didn't stay for the second half of the meeting, which was involved Michael. And that's pretty typical of meetings. Only when there's something that gets us all riled up do we all go down there and show up and pack the house. But then when it's not something that I'm really passionate about or something, then it's just a school board meeting. Mm-hmm. And it's empty and they're left to their own devices. The second thing I would say is that the Michael thing wasn't what I heard, because all I heard was you and Michael two different times speak on your show.
Right.
And it was a whole different thing once I was there. And it was very sad. I wish Michael, after he had his said his piece and handed out his pieces, his I don't know what you call it, printouts, his statement printouts from him and his lawyer to the board and made his final statement, he got up and he left. And he didn't even stay for them to finish to do their discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And people were torn. And it was very, very sad for everybody. And
what was your impression of the Williams conflict there? Because I know part of it has been restrictive on him, or at least maybe this is a self-imposed restriction because of the fact that he is lawyered up. And it is quite clear that the board wants to do, or the district probably too, wants to do anything possible to hang him out to dry. I mean, that's my impression. And I've been on the record before saying that I think that what may have happened earlier was certainly inelegant. But, you could tell even when they were going after, he had a sharp object on his belt. Oh, come on. Yes. Aren't we grown up? Yes. Can we be grown-ups here within
absolutely. But that wasn't really the issue. It really wasn't.
Okay? What was the issue, you think?
Well, my understanding originally was Medford Police Department provides a school resource officer.
Right.
And there was a problem, I think it was at North Medford High. I can't remember. Somewhere there was something and the resource officer got replaced. And the issues at that time I thought was, if something happens at school, they want to handle it in the school, mm-hmm. Inside.
Yeah.
And they don't want to call the police. And this police officer, my understanding from what I heard listening on your program, this is what I got out of it, was maybe this police officer wasn't just doing what the school district wanted. Maybe they were actually a real med, and they have to report to their chief, and there's laws that they have to file. And Michael, my understanding was Michael went down to find out on behalf of this police officer. Now, if I'm completely wrong, fine, but that's what I thought was the original impetus.
That's the way it came, that was kind of presented to me, all right? But that was from Michael's point of view here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm going. So Michael went down, and Michael works, and we all, some of us have a Leatherman tool on our belt. Some of us have concealed carry permits and guns, and whatever, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael just went and to deal with the situation. And he did have a tool on his work belt or whatever, his harness, his suspenders or whatever you wear when you do work. Okay, fine. Maybe he should have left it in his vehicle. Okay. But that wasn't the real issue. But what I got from what was alleged and what they discussed and what they did their vote on, and I really wish he would have stayed. He asked such thoughtful questions, and I really like the guy personally, and I don't say that very often about people. So I really had kind of a good feel for this gentleman.
Well, what they were going after, according to the complaints, though, is that there was yelling and threatening, and people didn't feel okay. Repeat after me, David. People didn't feel safe.
I understand that because you got the snowflake crew, okay? But they were all kind of feeling bad too, because I had a different, because I never can tell what somebody looks like from the radio.
Uh-huh.
I could have listened to you for 20 years. Well, I actually have, believe it or not. And it's been that long. And until I first saw you the first time a long time ago, I would have never guessed what you look like.
Okay.
For $1 million, okay? So I had no idea what Michael visually looked like, okay? I had him pictured, just never mind. I'm always going to be wrong,
uh-huh,
just by somebody's voice. Michael should have been their darling of in today's society.
Oh, looking at it through the DEI lens is what you're talking about.
Michael, things have changed, and I think he didn't keep proper. It's sort of like when I go somewhere, and by golly, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to tell them, maybe at the council meeting or at the county commission, well, they'll just shut me down if I'm not doing it. You know, be polite, be nice, stop, talk softly, you know. And Michael, I guess, kind of was a little bit, whatever. Now, I would have called Michael into my office. That's easy for me to say. It's not my office. I said, I want to hear what you have to say and let him get it out. Let him speak his piece and work with him and let him. But they just didn't want to. They wanted you come to the meeting and do your thing in this orderly fashion or forget it. And so they shut him down. And so they lodged a complaint against him. And he feels his First Amendment rights are violated. Well, there were several people speaking who thought their First Amendment rights were violated because people only want to hear, and it can happen on both sides of the fence.
Certainly.
Okay. It can happen on the Republic. It can happen on, I don't know how to explain this. I don't want to use Republican Democrat crap. It can happen on either side of the fence. And sometimes the splinter, if you get the pun, is in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I also understand why people don't want to be on these boards. I could do one board and I'm ready to do something, you know, was plant the tree, was paint the fence. You've got to be somebody that can talk something to death and still not come to anything. You have to like sitting there and talking. You have to be somebody that doesn't like doing. I think Michael is a doer kind of guy. I think he is a
And the doer type of people are frustrated, you think, on the school board?
Absolutely. You know, you and me want to paint the house. Cream, eggshell, and off-white. To us, it's white. We don't care. It's just paint. Okay? But the other people get together, and well, we'll table it till our next meeting. You know, what's going to rain in a few weeks? Let's paint. And then they say, well, what about soft white? What about it? It's white.
I think I get the impression. All right. I appreciate the call there, David. I wanted to talk to someone who had actually been at that meeting, and I will reach out to Rob.
I was at that meeting, but thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the call. Dave's here, too. Hello, David. How you doing?
Hello.
Another David. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to talk about in the 1860s when they were mining so much gold out of Sturgis Creek and Steve's Fork in Applegate. There was 5,000 people there, plus about 5,000 Army troops. There were Buffalo soldiers on Sturgis, and there were, well, they segregated them back then.
Uh-huh.
And eggs cost a dollar, a silver dollar, because there was so much gold. And the miners would turn the gold over and get silver coins for their gold.
So a buck in silver would buy you one egg, huh?
One egg. And it cost you like $2 for a steak, a pretty good sized steak.
I would say that was, they were experiencing a bout of inflation in that time. Lots of lots of money chasing those few goods.
Right.
All right.
Gold was so prevalent, you know, they were mining tons of gold out, and you know, they were getting silver back. Later on, they got gold back when it was minted.
All right. Hey, thanks for the clarification. We were talking about the price of gold and silver here a moment ago. Speaking of it, I didn't even talk about price of silver. Oh, price of silver popped too, a couple percent today. Well, 1.5%. It's going up and down at the moment. Okay. It is 8:34. Now then, what has also been popping? The price of insurance. The price of insurance has been popping and popping hard, or even the ability of this. And rather than being really frustrated about it, well, I don't know if I can stop you from being frustrated about it, but I can suggest that you call Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance and let him know what challenges you're having getting coverage, maybe the price of the coverage. Maybe you got a renewal notice and you've been canceled or given notice. I don't know. But whatever line you're looking for, just call Steve. He's an independent and works with a lot of different companies. And they try to craft, goes around and does the shopping for you, okay? 261-5444. 261-5444 to get in touch with Steve. And if he's busy with somebody else, just leave a message. He will get back to you, okay? And Lynn Barton, you hear listener Lynn who calls. Well, she joined the Sky Park team not that long ago, too. And she works the angle of helping you with Medicare questions, Medicare supplementals and Medicare Advantage plans, you know, all those various things. Man, it is so complex, so complex. And it's great to have Lynn part of that team, too. Her number, 499-0958. Anytime you need to get in touch with them and you forgot to write it down, you can go to Sky Park INS or you can just also email me. Same thing with my other sponsors, too. I'm always willing to help you get in touch with them. Sky Park INS, skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Now then, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to have the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. Diner 62, we're going to be talking about beer today. It's a beer question. It's an all-American kind of Saturday, Friday kind of topic here. 770-563-3770-KMED. My gosh, you can get your clam chowder Friday special over at Diner 62. They still have that 11:15 half ham steak special. Just delicious, delicious food and all that. And, yeah, of course, you got the cinnamon rolls the size of your head and all that sort of good stuff. All your breakfast and lunch favorites. And you can get a $20 gift certificate, 770-563-3770-KMED. After news, we'll give you a shot at winning that, okay?
Johnny Cash recorded Oddford Mazda, redefining the car buying experience.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
And streamed on KMED.com. Time for the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. And remember, like I said earlier, today is Clam Chowder Friday. So good you'll hear the surf and seagulls. Avocado available on their burgers and omelets and salads. You want avocado, they've got that. I don't know about the beer or not either, but everything today is going to be about the wonderful American, well, the beer deal.
In heaven there is no beer. That's why we drink it here.
And that's what we're going to talk about for today's question. Normally, I use that as listener Brad's theme, but let me go to Chris. Hello, Chris. How are you doing? Welcome.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Chris, tomorrow in well, actually, today in history, Friday, January 24th, 1935, the very first canned beer goes on sale. We have this in partnership with the American Can Company. The Gottfried Kruger Brewing Company delivered 2,000 cans of Kruger's finest beer and Kruger's cream ale to faithful Kruger drinkers in Richmond, Virginia. 91% of the drinkers approved of the canned beer, driving Kruger to give the green light to further production. Within a few months, over 80% of distributors were handling Kruger's canned beer, and Kruger was eating into the share of the big boys, Anheuser-Busch, Pabst, and Schlitz. Competitors soon followed, and by the end of 1935, over 200 million cans of beer had been produced and sold. Now, as of 2023, Chris in Medford, what percentage of the $45 billion U.S. beer industry is canned beer? Is it A, 28%, B, 40% of the beer is canned, C, 52% of the beer is canned, D, 64% of the beer, or E, 76%, more than three-fourths? What do you say?
I'm going to say 40%.
You're going to say 40%. Chris, I was holding out for you, but it didn't work that way. Let me go to Brother Louie. Hello, Brother Louie. We got either 28%, 52%, 64%, or 76%. How much beer is actually canned?
I think it's about 64.
You're thinking 64%.
You're a winner!
You are absolutely right, Brother Louie. Yep, canned beer. 64% of the U.S. beer industry, not all of it from the big national brewers. Been renewed interest in canning from microbrewers and high-end beer sellers who are realizing that the nice thing about a can, even though I like bottled beer myself, Brother Louie, I'm going to have it, especially Rolling Rock in that green bottle that I grew up with over in the Pittsburgh area. But the can prevents the light damage and the beer going stale. So there's something about that. Now, an interesting little sideline. In 2023, the breakdown of beer packaging, 64% aluminum cans, glass bottles, 27%, draft about 9%. And The share of beer sold through off-premises establishments for at-home consumption, about 85%. 15% sold at the bars, that kind of thing. So there we go. A little bit of beer trivia for you today, Brother Louie. And you're going to Diner 62. Hang on. Get your address and we'll take care of business. Speaking of taking care of business, open phones continue, 770-5633. Next.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who
currently...
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED.
847-770-5633, 770-KMED. One of my one of my favorite one-hit wonders. Sniffing the Tears, Driver's Seat. I always loved this. Be driving around on a Saturday night in my dad's 1969 Cadillac Coupe de Ville that I abused horribly. Watch, Bob, I can race the engine and then put it in gear and it'll spin the tires. Yeah, I was an idiot. I was an idiot at 17, and that's why the local city council where I was growing up would not listen to me, unlike the Ashland City Council, who listens to their idiots that are 17 years old. And by the way, I say idiot not because I'm trying to, you know, beg and spread hate on the 17-year-old kids over at Ashland that are dictating town policy, but it's just, as a 17-year-old, even if you are book smart, you know nothing. You know nothing about the real world. Okay, let me go to Joel. Hey, Joel, how you doing this morning? Go ahead.
Hey, Deplorable Patrick.
Oh, Deplorable Patrick. I'm sorry. Hang on. I'll get to you, Patrick, just a second. I wanted to get Joel in because he can barely keep a cell phone together there. Hello, Joel.
We got the new cell phone, but it seemed to be a lot better.
Okay.
Real quick, on your last contest, because I work at the Chevron station, which is like the only store at, big time in Hornbrook.
Yes.
I talked to the beer distributors, and because I was asking, can't you give me the Rolling Rock and the bottles? And the guy goes, yeah. And it turns out, because of the weight of glass, 90% of the beer they bring down the freeway is in a can.
Oh, because, you're not having to haul the bottle around. Sure, that makes sense. Yeah. I get that.
So I put a special order in to get that favorite beer, which is also mine.
I just happen to like beer in a glass or in glass bottles better. I still think that there is a taste to the can. I know maybe I'm just crazy, but that's what I've always thought.
Yeah. Okay, back to the Ashland, the kids in Ashland. All I know is when we were in school, and I was born in 1950, so by the time I was in the fourth grade, we were already working on hydroponics, tidal wave generators. You know, I had five paper routes. I mean, these kids today, they seem to have everything handed to them, and they believe 90% of the crap.
Well, I'm not bagging on the kids. I bag on the adults who actually empowered the kids, because it is ridiculous to go to 17-year-olds, 17 and 18-year-olds, to have them setting home heating policies for people. And these are people who have never paid taxes, don't understand the world, and only know how to parrot what their Marxists Marxist teachers are talking about, and also the inculcation from the SoCan types in Southern Oregon. Okay, but of course, I'm sure it's because the city council actually tacitly agrees with this, and this is a way to throw the Enviro commies a bone. Let me go to Deplorable Patrick. Hello, DP. Go ahead. Welcome.
Well, some of the cans are coated on the inside so that you don't taste the aluminum, so you're not just imagining that. The reason that I picked up the phone and dialed it is having to do with I heard what I expected to hear. Deporting these illegals is going to cost millions.
Uh-huh.
And I've been kind of promoting the idea a little bit in comments online. If they have assets, make them pay the cost of their deportation. Do you think that could work and could be promoted, and how it would
know if the asset seizure for their deportation would be constitutional or not. I couldn't really answer that question. I don't know.
We can put it out there.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Let me go to line three. Hello, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill Lucretia.
Hi, Lucretia. What's on your mind?
I'd love to go in with city council and give them peace of my mind about the whole situation. But
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of 17 or 18-year-olds determining any kind of policy here in Southern Oregon. Not that they can't eventually know what's going on, but right now they don't.
Where did you say all the electricity is coming from, the coal plant?
Well, we used to have coal-fired power. It's really hard to tell right now because an electron doesn't say that it has coal behind it. But, you know, you look at the website that used to actually detail it out. EIA.gov would actually put this out, but they've made it a lot harder to figure out where the power comes from because the state of Oregon doesn't want coal-fired power coming in here anymore.
What was the highest you saw? Like 60%, 80%?
Yeah, a year or two ago, the last time that EIA.gov was, I think, being more honest about where the power was, there were times during the peak that coal was providing, 50, 60% of the power here in Southern Oregon, but that's not politically correct power any longer.
Right, and the rest was dams.
Yeah.
It was the hydropower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the other thing I wanted to say is I think the reason they're getting rid of all these weather reporters is for the exact reason I wanted to play that woman talking. It's like, sometimes they make accidents and let some of us get through.
Yeah, if all of your news is nationalized, then you have an easier way of I guess, controlling the narrative. Is that sort of what you're implying?
Well, absolutely. Like, I'm looking at it's earth.nol.school.net, and mm-hmm. you have to learn how to use it. You got to click it on winds. You got to look at the different helipactyls, the different the heights, and then you're going to see literally winds going 180 degrees one way and then turning around and going the other way, and totally areas where
it's but that's perfectly explainable. You have wind hitting ridges. We have lots of mountains around here. I know you and I will disagree on that, but other than that, I appreciate your call, but I'm going to disagree with you on earthnullschool.mybrain, okay? Thanks for the call. Now, let me go to line four. I'm just running out of time. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. Glenn Archambault in Phoenix.
Hi, Glenn. How are you this morning, sir?
Good. I got a brief item.
Okay.
The city council has said they're going to get rid of natural gas, basically, in the city of Ashland.
Yes.
Well, in 1993, it was a very different attitude. The city of Ashland, state of Oregon, Jackson County all said, we are going to turn the whole state into natural gas users.
Well, look at the RVTD buses that were around here for years and years and years, and there were still some on the road recently, I thought, talking about powered by clean, compressed natural gas, right?
And that was a big issue in 93 because Bill Clinton gave us all of this infrastructure and cleared the way so there'd be no opposition. People like me who said, you can't take my farm for free. And they did. I'd owned the farm for one day and I lost it the next morning. And they paid me nothing. Should they pay me now that they're abandoning this natural gas project?
Because the natural gas project was one of the reasons why they were going after you, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Eminent domain, and they were hysterical. Governor Kitzhaber couldn't keep his mouth shut. He was so upset about it. And a small group of us at the point of a gun were taken from our farms. And now they're going to abandon that. I want my money back.
I wouldn't blame you. Any chance we could talk farming policy next week under the new administration?
We got farming policy coming out our ears, Bill.
Okay.
All
right. I'll tell you what. By the way, Glenn Archambault is the elected Farm Services Representative for Southern Oregon. Glenn, I'll get in touch with you off air. We'll get you booked in for next week. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Good enough,
Bill. All right. Thank you. Let me go to next line. Hi. Good morning. This is Bill.
Hey. Good morning, Bill. It's Ron out in Eagle Point.
Hi, Ron. What's on your mind?
Big question. I wonder if Ashland High School is heated with natural gas.
That's a really good question.
Shut it off.
There you go. Yeah, find out. I don't know if they have big heat pumps heating Ashland High or if it is... normally when you have a big building like that, you tend to err on going to... furnaces to gas furnaces. Now, I could be wrong about that, but
Well, yes, gas furnaces, the same thing. Basically, shut the natural gas off.
Okay, so let's have the children, the climate children, then experience the benefits of being without natural gas, so that way they can experience the cleanliness of the atmosphere around them. Okay.
Yeah. Take care, Bill.
All right. You take care. Thank you, Ron. Actually, I don't know. They've probably had grant stream funding coming through the energy folks here in the state of Oregon, probably to put in heat pumps, but that would be a commercial size heat pump. There would have been big heat pumps to work that. All right, Bill Meyer Show, 8:57.
Service is the difference with Sweetwater Sanitation.
8:58 and change. We'll do some emails of the day before we wrap here this morning on the Bill Meyer Show. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And it's a place that they have a special program there. If you don't have medical insurance, they have some available dental plan, which provides better benefits, in their opinion. It works a lot like insurance, but less expensive, better benefits. And talk to them on Freeland Way, and it's right next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. Butch writes me this morning saying, hey, Bill, Senate Bill 762, has anyone started a class action suit yet? And how many homeless are getting Social Security disability checks? I imagine quite a few there. But I understand the amount of money is about $900 per month set by the state. No class action suit set yet for anything like that, Butch, but I know there have been people talking about that. And where else did I want to mention this? Most of the emails are way too long in the limited time, but I'm going to get back to some of those, and people were very nice. A lot of people wrote me that they were talking about how much they liked the interview earlier this week, which you can still get on the podcast on BillMeyerShow.com and on KMED.com with Alexander Tutinov. And I know Lynn had written about that. Paul Princeton wrote about that. I'll share some of those thoughts, and it's interesting how much influence that man had here in Southern Oregon. And if you have the opportunity, go back and listen to the podcast and hopefully go to the big concert they're having down at SOU on the 14th, okay? Email Bill to BillMeyerShow.com. We'll talk again Monday.
Southern Oregon's place to talk. KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point.